Turning them, first of all, to Mark 3:35, and then if you'd like, turn over to 1 John chapter 2. Both of these verses deal with the will of God, and I'm going to preach just a very simple, basic sermon on that subject. Pastor Dameron's smiling, which means he's preaching on it tonight, I think. I would just ask you a question. Do you know how to find the will of God? Sometimes we ask these rhetorical questions and you just let them go by. But if you'd stop and ask yourself, do you know how to find the will of God? Then ask yourself this, are you in the will of God? People use these terms so easily, so simply, so such a flighty manner. Are you in the will of God? I've seen many, dozens, maybe hundreds that have come to me through the years and say, it's God's will for me to marry this person. And you know, as a spiritual person, it's not God's will, but they say it's God's will and they destroy their lives. People say it's God's will to go join the service, or it's God's will to do foolish things. And they just say it. And I think people say things like that because they don't really believe you can find God's will. And I want to tell you, you can. And I want to ask you again, are you in God's will? In Mark 3:35, Jesus says, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." Now think about this. What this means is that if you're in the will of God, you're just as dear to him as his sisters, brothers, and mother. Now that's quite a statement. And then over in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17, we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Well, one thing that this passage says is that you cannot be in the world and in the will of God at the same time. You can't be in the will of God and the world. And again, I believe, especially young people, I believe that this is the major reason they can never find God's will, because they're hanging on to the world. And again, the Bible says you can't have the world and the will of God at the same time. You've got to choose between them. And this verse should be a great encouragement to do just that. But let's pray. We'll get into the message. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. We thank you for everybody that's here. And Holy Spirit, I know that I can do nothing without you. I don't want to just talk, but I want to preach in your power. And I pray that you'll speak to hearts, Lord. I pray that there'll be a good decision, a definite decision. Somebody's life will be changed because they want to make sure they're in your will, that you might be able to bless them. In your name we pray, amen. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul makes one of the outstanding statements in all the Bible in verse 8, where it says that God will give us peace that passeth all understanding. Now think about that. God promises that we can have peace that passeth all understanding. Isaiah 26:3 reads, "He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him." Think of the scope of that statement, that God will give us perfect peace. Now that's in a horrible world. We're living in a world where homosexuals are lifted up and Christians are spit on. I just heard this morning, I listened to the news as I shave and brush my teeth, and I heard that Scott Walker, supposedly a real conservative, and a couple others that are thinking about running for president, said, we're not going to deal with this homosexual thing anymore. This basically, he said, it's not important. Well, what does that mean? They've won, okay? We get together, and the majority of people in every state of the union, I'm almost sure, has said that they don't want homosexual marriage, and yet some man will stand up and change the law. We're living in a sick day. And by the way, if you're here and you say you have something against homosexuals, I would say God has something against. He calls it the sickest sin there is in the world. And God hates it. And because God hates it, I hate it. But the world is loving it, is the point that I'm trying to make. We live in a day, and this blows my old mind away. You young people, you're used to it. But we're living in a day when somebody will get saved, a couple, let's say, will get saved, and they're not married. And we have to explain to them that God doesn't want you to live together and not be married. They honestly don't see there's a problem with it. We're living in a day where teens in Porter County, Indiana, are sexual animals. Just animals. That's the way they look at the intimacy. Just animals. We're living in a day when there's a nuclear threat like never before. Over in Iran, they call us Satan. They think it's great to kill themselves, and they want to kill us, and they're developing a nuclear bomb, and our president won't do anything about it. But God promises peace. And I'm here to tell you, I have peace. Those things make me mad, but I have peace. I have peace. In John 14, verse 27, John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now you ask my wife, I can go to sleep just like that. I don't care what's happening. I lay my head on my nice goose feather down pillow, and I'm keeping her awake. But I'm saying I have peace, and this peace comes from God, and you can have that peace. What a precious promise. And I just want to say, I hope you have that peace. But where does it come from? In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, the Bible says, rejoice evermore. Now, God wouldn't tell us to do it if we couldn't do it. It wouldn't be in the Bible if we couldn't do it. We should be able to rejoice evermore. We ought to be bubbling over. We ought to be happy. In James 1:9, it says, let the brother of low degree rejoice. This is the poor, discouraged brother, the one who thinks he can't go on. God says, rejoice. Now, where does that peace come from? How can you have this peace deep down in your soul? A man called a pastor and asked if it was a sin to commit suicide. And of course he said, yes, it's like self-murder. But he also shared with him some of these verses on joy and peace and happiness, and he came out of his depression. Now, I don't care what your circumstances are. I'm sure there's people sitting here that's saying, yeah, you're talking about joy and peace, but you're not in my shoes. We all have deep problems come through our lives. And we all can have peace and joy. I don't care what your circumstances are. You can have that peace that passeth all understanding. Now, where does that peace come from? The Bible, for one thing. Prayer, for another. You can gain peace from your Christian fellowship with good Christians, not just any Christian. You can gain peace that. You can find peace in various ways, but the number one peace, the number one way to find that peace that passeth all understanding is finding and knowing you're in the will of God. In my years, I've had rough times, but the thing that keeps me not only sane, but snoring at night, is that I would know that I'm in the will of God. In Hebrews 10:7, we read where Jesus said, "Lo, I come in the volume of this book. It is written of me to do thy will." Realizing that he had come to this earth, he knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to be beat, spit on, and nailed to the cross. Knowing he would suffer and die for us, he still came with joy in his heart because he knew he was doing the will of his Father. The joy of my heart, the joy of Jesus' heart, is doing the will of God. Now, it ought to be the joy of your heart also. If you find the will of God for your life and you're doing it, you can face anything. I know of a missionary to Australia. This is quite a few years ago. He had his 7-year-old daughter die. Now, that would be hard. I've got 2 girls. I've got 3 granddaughters. That would be hard. And somebody came and asked him how he was dealing with it, and he simply answered, "It is the will of God." Now think about it. That's the only way I could face it. It is the will of God. The will of God is the best place to live and the only place to live if you believe God's word. Now, I want to share 3 things. This is not a long message, not a deep message, but I want to share 3 things with you about the will of God. First of all, I want to stress, I'm going to spend more time on this than either of the other points, the will of God is knowable. I'm going to say it again. The will of God is knowable. I can say through my experience and dealing with hundreds of Christians through the years, we are blessed whenever we find God's will and we live in it. People ask, how do you know you're called to preach? Or how do you know I'm supposed to be a teacher or a doctor or accountant? Or how do you know I'm supposed to marry this person or not that person? Let me say loud and clear. You can know the will of God if you honestly want it. Let's back off. If you know my testimony, you know I did not want to be a preacher. I didn't think I could speak and all the rest of that. So I didn't want it. So I'm fumbling around doing this. I know Jeff has said, I can't figure you out those few years earlier in your life. It's because I was out of God's will and I was just looking everywhere. But if you want God's will, if you surrender to God, you can know it. You say, how about who I should marry? You can know. It's not the flesh. It's not your heart going pitter-patter. It's getting on your knees and asking God, and he will give you that peace that passeth all understanding. Again, you get in trouble when your heart's, oh, she's beautiful. Oh, she's perfect for me. Oh, forget it. Go to God, think it through, pray it through. God will show you positively. Yes or no? Keep your flesh out of it, or you'll foul your life up. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship created unto good works. He's more interested in you knowing God's will than you are. We are his workmanship created unto his good works. He wants us to know God's will. The only person that gets in the way of you knowing God's will is you. You. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, we know this passage, verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Have you ever noticed the little word set? He has set our race. He has set the course. Think, he's already planned the course, and it's only our job to get on the course and run the race that he has for us. And when we get messed up, attitude, sin, I don't know what, and we get off the course, we get in big trouble. We want to get intellectual about it. We want our input instead of simply wanting to follow him in a practical way. Think, Almighty God has a plan for little old Roger Vogelin. Doesn't that get you? And Almighty God has a plan for every person in my hearing. And if you follow, again, I've told so many stories that it looked horrible. But if you follow, it's wonderful. It's when you get off the plan. It's when you marry the wrong person, you see. It's when you go the wrong place. We can see others destroy their lives by being out of God's will, yet we think we're smart. I think I'm this way. Don't you know that it's the flesh that messes us up all the time? The Bible tells us, say, how to raise our children. But we were raised this way, and when we grew up, it was that way. Forget it. Go to the Bible. I think. Forget it. And we mess our marriage up. We mess our children up. We mess our ministries up, our lives up. Romans 12, 1 and 2 ends with that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your way is set, boys. It's there. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. The responsibility is ours to prove what the perfect will of God is for us. And we ought to be working and praying and doing everything. It's not God opens the door. I hate that term. God opens the door. You know, I met the most handsome guy on earth. God opened the door. I found a job in Florida. You know, whatever it might be. No, God leads. I'll testify to you, and there's a lot of others in here who will tell you. You say, how do you know? You pray about it. You read the Bible. You pray some more, and you ask for perfect peace. When I've made big decisions, I'll ask for perfect peace. And I'm talking about praying for a long time. If you're praying about where to live, or you're praying about who to marry, or something like this, you pray for a long time, and you pray, God, give me perfect peace. And you get up, and you know what happens? You lose that peace because somebody tries to talk you out of it. And so, Take some more time. God, give me that perfect peace. And if he gives me that perfect peace three or four times, I know it's his will, no matter how big a decision it is. Philippians 2:13 says, God worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Over and over, the Holy Spirit is in us to teach us and to guide us to do his good pleasure, to be in the center of his will. One of the great desires of the Holy Spirit is for you and me to be in the will of God. John 17:7 reads, he that is that willeth to do his will shall know of the doctrine. If we want, there it is again, if we honestly really want to know his will, he wants to show it to us. It does take time, it does take some effort, but he wants to show it. We can know the will of God just like we know we're saved, just like we know we're going to heaven, or just like we know Jesus is coming again. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. God predetermined that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. It was all planned that he was going to be baptized by John the Baptist before he came to earth. It was no accident that he was transfigured on Mount Tabor. No accident that he was crucified on Calvary. No, he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God had a will for Jesus, and praise God, he has a will for you and I. He has a will for us, and it helps me to know that we can know God's will. Wherever you are, God has a will, and you can find it. God had a will for the Apostle Peter. He was a fisherman. God wanted him to preach Pentecost. God had a will for Paul. The Apostle Paul was a old hypocrite and a Pharisee, and he wanted him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. David Livingston was from England, pretty wealthy home, and God wanted him to reach Africa. Billy Sunday was a baseball player, professional, played for the White Sox, and God wanted him to preach against booze and see souls saved. Charles Finney was a lawyer that God wanted him to be an evangelist and a revivalist. Old Bill Rice was a cowboy, and God wanted him to be a cowboy preacher. The will of God is knowable, and being in the center of God's will is as good a thing that'll ever happen to you. And I'm not just talking about where you are. People will kind of be out of sorts and not know what to do, and they move. That happens a lot of times. When in reality, they're not in God's will, you understand? They don't need to move any place. I surrender to God confused. As I said 5-10 minutes ago, I was going to be an architect. I went to school to be an architect. I joined the Navy. I wanted to be a jet pilot. And I would have been a bad jet pilot, and I would have been a bad architect, I'll guarantee you, because I was out of God's will. And I surrendered to do something I thought was impossible. There's very few of you but people, if you think you can't speak, if you can imagine, you don't feel you can speak in public, and God wants you to be a preacher, that's impossible. If you've got a temper, that's my biggest sin, and you just fight. I was thrown out of school so many times, my mother lost count. And God is going to make me a loving pastor. It is impossible, understand? And so you say no. But no matter how impossible it seems, you just say, okay, if it's your will, I'll do it. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I didn't think God could use me, but it's been thrilling to see what he can do. And I've seen that multiplied over hundreds of times when people give their will to God. The will of God is knowable. Secondly, the will of God is doable. If you'd like to turn to Hebrews 13, just a page back, it's doable. A great motto would be God's elections are God's enablings. Our calling by God Almighty are in His capabilities. God will never call you to do anything you cannot do in His power. And in Hebrews 13, verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will." That same power that resurrected you from the grave of sin is the same power that can enable you to do His will, no matter how you think it can't be done. And again, we hang on to the world. We think, oh, it can't be fun. Is there anything more fun than having a good marriage? Is there anything more fun than raising your children for God? Is there anything more fun than going to the nursing home and seeing people saved? Do you understand? It's fun. It's fun. That same power that saved you can make you what you ought to be. If God wants you to be a missionary, if God wants you to be a teacher, if He wants you to be an electrician, a good mom or dad, you take care of your responsibility and He'll enable you. You see, it's only our responsibility to surrender. It's His responsibility to make us what we ought to be. If you'll do His will, He'll give you the power to perform it. It is doable. Again, I heard an account of a family that lived in Minot, North Dakota. They owned a Bible bookstore. But the husband was totally paralyzed from the neck down. He was stiff. He was like he was petrified. But he believed that it was God's will for him to go out, knock on doors, and tell people about the Lord and give out tracts. So his wife would slide him in to his station wagon and go wherever they're going, and then they'd slide him out just like a corpse, and they'd bring him up the stairs, and he'd tell people about Jesus. Now you say, what are you getting at? If he can do it, we can do it. See? We've got good feet and good arms and good mobility, and we've got good ears and good eyes. Don't tell me you can't do God's will. God's elections are God's enablings. God's will is knowable. God's will is doable. And then the will of God is peaceable. Do you ever have problems with Scripture? I'm not talking about inspiration, but in interpretation. I have a problem with that sometime. The Bible says, for instance, rejoice evermore. That's been a hard one for me at times. There's been some times when I really didn't think I could rejoice. Rejoice always. And of course, when Paul wrote that, he was in a damp, dirty prison. Now, I said being in the will of God is peaceable, but I didn't say it's pleasant, okay? It wasn't pleasant for Daniel in the lion's den until God shut the, it always ended up fun. It wasn't pleasant for Joseph, whether it be in the pit or in prison, not until God performed His miracles. It wasn't pleasant for James to be beheaded until he got to heaven. Neither am I saying it's always profitable. The most intellectual person in the Bible made a living sewing tents, and he only had one coat. It's also not always popular. The world hated Billy Sunday, scoffed at D.L. Moody. The world hated Lester Roloff. They crucified Jesus Christ. They sent thousands of Christians to the lions. I'm not saying that in the will of God it's always pleasant. I'm not saying it's always profitable or popular, but I'm saying it's peaceful. I'm saying you can have joy no matter what the circumstances are. If you do your part to rear your children and run your marriage and set your finances and have ministries in the will of God, you'll have the peace of God no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way. Doctor says cancer, you'll have the peace of God no matter what comes your way. You lose your job, you'll have the peace of God. You really will, no matter what comes your way. Again, I say, you follow the Bible, raising your children in your marriage, in your finances, in your ministries, your Christian life, you'll have joy in serving Jesus no matter what comes your way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and that we don't have to twist it to get our point across. We thank you that there is joy in serving you. We thank you that we can have peace when we know your will. And Holy Spirit, again, I pray as I prayed at the beginning, that you would deal with hearts, and Lord, I know you won't make anybody do anything, but Lord, please deal with hearts that will have somebody make a good decision, a life-changing decision, that they are going to find your will, know your will, and stay in your will, and trust you for whatever it brings. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand there at your seats with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. In a moment, the instruments are going to play an invitation hymn. And if God spoke to you, speak to him, please do. A preacher can tell when people are listening. I know some of you are really listening, and if God's dealt with your heart, you deal with him. And if you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can tell you what God's will is, and that is for you to do that, to come to him, confessing that you're a sinner, like all of us, and that you're trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. You might not even understand it completely, but we have people up here that'd be glad to open their Bible and deal with you. You'll never have peace. You'll never have the joy I'm talking about without salvation. So if God's dealing with you about that, you come as the instruments play.